Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
All right. Well, generally speaking, the start of a new year is the time of year that people tend to do a lot of planning, or at least some thinking about, okay, what's this year going to look like? And people make resolutions and that kind of thing. And then we all know that. But I also want to say that people do, along with just making a resolution, there's people that sit down and do some serious kind of planning for the new year. I knew a couple one time, a husband and wife, and they had a tradition around New Year's, and their tradition was they would go to bed on New Year's Eve. Actually, they wouldn't stay up late, but then they would get up on New Year's Day and get up early and find a restaurant that was still open, you know, kind of a breakfast place, and they would sit down and enjoy kind of, you know, a big belly buster breakfast, as it were, and then they would, after they were done, sit and drink coffee for 2 hours and plan out their year. They would talk about, okay, what is it that each individually, or perhaps them as a couple or family, would like to do or be about, or what does God have for us in the new year? And they would go so far as to make some plans and to sketch out some plans and put it on paper. That was a New Year's habit of theirs and a good tradition, I think. And you know, around this time of year, there's all kinds of planning that we might get into. Somehow the new year provides a little bit of motivation or a little impetus for a lot of us to think about our plans, to do some planning. One might revisit a financial plan or a budget around the first of the year. One might do some planning regarding diet and exercise. One might, and this is a fun one, do some vacation or travel planning at the first of the year. The other day, I listened to a presentation on end-of-life planning. You know, that is working to prepare for when one is no longer here and making arrangements related to grave sites and coffins and living wills and life insurance policy. That's a morbid kind of planning to do at the start of a new year or just about any time, isn't it? But it's important, and people do it, and I happened to hear a presentation on it the other day. Planning, it's something that happens, and it happens a lot this time of year. So the question I want to pose to us today is simply this. Whatever planning we might do, why not also include some planning when it comes to one's Christian discipleship or Christian walk from time to time? If the other types of planning, I think most would agree, are good and healthy and helpful to do from time to time, to look ahead at the new year or look even beyond into the distant future, that kind of planning is good and healthy. I think we'd all agree on that. Why not also for the Christian to be intentional and to think plan in terms of how he or she is going to spend time with God in the new year? What kind of habits of connecting with God might we want to develop? What kind of work or service might we want to do to bless the community or the neighborhood or the city? So thinking about that in advance and maybe even creating a plan for how we're going to do it. Or what kind of sins and struggles that we face that, boy, this year, this is the year we're going to go after it. We're going to run right at the giant, as one pastor that I know says. We're going to run right at that giant, the thing that dogs us, that bothers us. We're going to run at it this year, and here's the plan for how we're going to do it. So this is kind of, you might call, discipleship planning, followership planning, or Christian growth planning. Say, Lord, I'm here. I'm yours by your grace. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm walking with you. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. So I'm going to think here at the start of the year about a plan for that. I'm going to take some time to do so. So what I've done for this sermon series that we're doing starting today, and it's going to be the next 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of the new year, is I've created a little booklet, or I should say workbook, to go with it. And again, these are at the end of each row, but I want to share with you a little bit about this workbook and what it is intended to do if you want to use it. And again, there are some, and you can leaf through it today, even as I talk, if you want, and see if it's something that's for you or not. If you would like to use it and take it home with you and use this workbook for some discipleship planning or Christian growth plan work, you're welcome to do so. I would ask, if it's not for you or you don't think you're going to use it, bring it back, leave it here and so we can have plenty and leave for others. But if you think you'll use it and, you know, just kind of leaf through it today, see how it goes, please take one. If we need to make more, we'll make more. If you do not think you'll use it but want to simply just receive the sermons from this series as usual, that's fine too. You know, the other day, that presentation I happened to hear on end-of-life planning, they had a workbook to give to participants that walked you through all the things you need to think about, all the things you need to think about, you know, some distant day, and there was a workbook that you could take if you want. And some folks, I suppose, you say, I don't need the workbook. I'm already kind of set on that. I know that, you know, I'm going to be buried in the old churchyard over there, and here's my undertaker, and here's my life insurance policy, and I don't need the workbook per se. I've got a lot of that already figured out. That's fine. You don't have to have the workbook. Same here. If you've got your discipleship plan, by the way, I'm using that morbid example about death tonight, but this is about life. This is about life with Christ. And how much better to plan and think and talk about this stuff. So same here. If you've got your plan set and don't need to use the workbook, that's all good. The workbook is there for you to use it if you want. But I would say this, from my experience and yours, God's never done with us. God's always wanting to grow us. God's always leading us. He's always wanting to work with us to surrender more and more to Him, to give Him more of our heart. So whatever plans we write down or make, we just, you know, need to always be aware. God, what do you want to do with me right now? How do you want to lead me? Okay, so this is what we'll be doing for this as we go through. If we put the image up with the six, or the sign with the six images up, what we're going to do is, and this is in the book, and there's six things up here, and we're going to do a sermon on each one. These are things that we talk about in our church and have traditionally, we talk about regularly, and all of these things and the pictures that go with them have to do with answering the question, how do I grow? How? So the question, how? How do I grow in my walk with Christ? How do I mature? And there are categories of habits of the Christian life, personal habits we call transformative habits, and they're anchored in the Word, active in the church and neighborhood, animated by the Spirit. You hear me say those things on a regular basis. Those are categories of habits that each one of us as individuals can do that will help us grow. There are also environments for growth that we've experienced, that you've experienced throughout your life as a Christian, that we try to experience together as a church. These are environments, places that we can grow, places where other people can help us to grow. Large group, being a part of a church. Small group, a Bible study, a Sunday school class setting is a different kind of dynamic, but it's an environment for growth. And then life to life, mentoring, counseling, friendship. All of these things we'll talk about are environments that can help us grow. Now, we're going to go through all of these in this series. I'm going to start with one of them today. And as you go, again, you can kind of develop your plan for each one, what transformative habits you might want to develop, what environments for growth you might want to take advantage of this year. One more thing before we get on to today's topic and the first one of these that we'll talk about. I have entitled this, it says, My Christian Growth Plan. That's the name of the series. That's the name of the workbook. And I want to make this distinction. We might look at something like this and say, okay, this is a personal growth or a personal development plan, and that's fine, and those things are good. I do want to stress that this says Christian growth plan to remind us that the growth we seek is done in the context of our discipleship, our followership of Jesus Christ. This is not about simply me doing my thing or me living my best life. This is about a lifestyle that we have in which we are, as Christians, this is the terminology of the Apostle Paul, servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. So whatever growth we would seek would be in the context of our servanthood of Christ and our relationship with God. Do you see the difference? Without God, it's me doing my own thing. It's me seeking to get better, and that may be good, but it's just me. In the context of a relationship with God, our growth goes to glorify God. Let me say that again. Our growth goes to glorify God. Does God want us to get better and healthier? Absolutely. He's for our good. But sometimes, and even in the church, we often forget when we talk about maturity, growing, personal development, it's not just for us. It's to glorify God and with his help and following his lead. I want to make that distinction as we begin today. So, okay, here it is. Let's start with one of them just briefly this morning. I'm going to talk about this one. Forming a habit as part of your plan, your discipleship, for how God may be leading you to be active in the church and neighborhood. Let me unpack that. Here's our big idea. If we can put our big idea slide up, here's what we mean by that. By being active in the church and neighborhood, we mean doing good in any number of ways. Or we mean living on mission with God and in the church, in the church and neighborhood. Neighborhood meaning any place we live, work, or play. By this, we also mean staying connected with other disciples through a church or community of believers. Now, let's think about doing good for a minute. That's something that we see, we read in Scripture all the time. I'm going to give you one of them. This is Galatians 6, 9 through 10. If you can put that on the screen. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'll leave this up here and let's talk about God's word here and just let it soak in a little bit today. Here, this is the Apostle Paul at the end of Galatians urging people to do good. I want to say, first of all, that this basic, simple admonition to do good we find throughout the New Testament. In many letters, at the end of many letters, about a month or so ago, you may remember if you were here on Thanksgiving, I talked about giving thanks and how in a number of letters of the Apostle Paul, when he's telling the Christians on, okay, how to live, practical Christian living, Christian ethics, he says, be thankful. And so that comes up again and again. And it's in a similar way, this simple admonition to do good comes up again and again. So it's something that we see not once in a while, but frequently in the New Testament. Notice here, there's a bit of a division as well. We are to do good, especially to the family of believers. Therefore, remaining active or connected with the family of believers allows for us to do good for and with one another, with different folks in, for instance, this church, contributing different good to the collective so that we all grow. Notice it does not stop there. It says, let us do good to all people, to all people. So I'm calling this facet of Christian discipleship, you know, we should be looking to do good in the church and the neighborhood, any place we live, work, or play. And that is all over Scripture as well. I was just reading the other day, you might remember in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, God said to him, tell the exiles when they're in Babylon, when they're in a distant land, build houses. and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number, and also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Seek the peace and prosperity of this city that you're in. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So doing good both in the church and out there in the neighborhood, a habit of the Christian life that we ought to embrace and ought to have a plan for. Before we make that plan, let's talk a little bit more. How then do we do good? I mean, that's a big, I love it. I love it because it's so simple. Do good. Simple. But it is big and broad, isn't it? What exactly do we mean by doing good? Well, I think doing good has a bazillion different applications. A bazillion different ways that people can do good. So there are so many ways that we can join God in mission. So many ways that we can do good that we might not even be a realizer or even know that we're doing. There's so many ways that we can be active in a positive way in the church or neighborhood. It's so big and broad. And that allows all of us to get involved and be on mission with God. All of us. We all have ways that we can do good. And let me remind you of this. When it comes to doing good, it's big and it's broad, yes, and it's equal. It's equal. In God's economy, the good that one person does is good, but the good that the other person does, the neighbor, the person down the road, whatever, that good is also good. You see, there are different jobs, different skills, different skill sets, but we all use them to do good. And that's how it goes in God's economy. Not so in the world. Our world has a way of saying, you know, which people it is that really do good, that really do the most important work and deserve the most accolades. Not so with God. He looks at the quality with which we serve him in whatever we're doing, whatever he's given us to do. And he really doesn't judge from one type of job to the next, or one type of doing good better than the next type of doing good. In fact, we see that all over Scripture, that each one should carry his own load, Ephesians. That is, each one should run the race, carry the load, go the path, use the gifts that God has given him or her. We know that God's grace comes in various forms, 1 Peter chapter 4. We know there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work, 1 Corinthians 12. So God's not so much about ranking or rewarding certain kinds of service, but wants his people to be faithful and to do all sorts of good according to our gifts, abilities, opportunities. John Wesley said famously this: do all the good you can for all the people you can, by all the means you can, as long as ever you can. Do good, active in the church and neighborhood. Now, again, I said there are so many examples of what this could look like, and we couldn't even list them all. We couldn't even be aware of them all. In the workbook, and it's on page 5, and there, you know, this is where the material that I'm sharing today is kind of laid out, and I list some examples of habits. These are doing good or active in the church and neighborhood habits that we might want to develop or hone or continue in. They are things like generosity and stewardship, service, honoring God at work, honoring God with whatever career, whatever vocation, whatever calling God has given you, making the most of it, just maximizing it. Doing good could take the form of outreach and evangelism. Doing good can have to do with loving our family, our spouse, our children, our extended family. Can have to do with loving our church family. Again, it's so big and broad. I want to mention the picture too. If we could put the picture up, it goes with this particular habit. You know, this is kind of a picture of generosity, I think, and maybe generosity out in the neighborhood. And that's one habit you can think about developing in this new year. How do I continue to be generous? How do I steward what I have so that I can be generous? Incidentally, love these pictures. We've had them for many years. We bought them for about $100 from a local artist, and they depict, you know, certain aspects of Christian discipleship. And using this one today for doing good in the church and the neighborhood. Now, before I talk about a plan and developing a plan, and before we close, I want us to remember this. We engage in these habits. We're calling them transformative habits. And the thing about a transformative habit, it transforms us, but it also can transform other people. You get involved with service or generosity or doing something in the world or in the church, God's grace comes to other people through your doing good. The other thing is, when we do that, when we serve, when we give, when we do good, God's grace also comes to us in that. Many of you know our friend Lonnie Maley, who does short-term mission trips, and I know that Lonnie and other people who do short-term mission trips, and Lonnie used to say, regarding service, he used to say, you know, just go serve somebody and God will meet you there. Just go serve somebody and God will meet you there. What's he talking about? It's an experience of, okay, when I'm active in the church or world, when I'm out doing something, God has me. It doesn't have to be a short-term mission trip, but it could be. It could be at your job on a Tuesday. When you're serving, there's a transformation that happens, something that we receive when we go and do. Okay, now, your plan. What will your plan look like for 2024? And in the book, you know, if you use the book, there's a place, and it guides you, gives you step-by-step things, and you don't have to do it today. This is for your own time. If you want to take it home and work on this, you can note down some habits that you'd like to cultivate. Maybe it's a habit of generosity or service or some things having to do with your family or church family. And then there's a space where you can make a specific and detailed plan with God for how you can build that habit into your life. You might want to set a goal of going on a short-term mission trip in 2024 or volunteering in your community or getting to know three of your neighbors this year or serving over here or serving over there. Or reaching out to certain people to invite them to some of our Easter programs. Or using a circle of three for outreach and evangelism. I could keep going, right? Because as I've said today, this one in particular is so big and broad. So many ways we can do good. If you take a workbook, you can, of course, skip to some of the other sections and continue and work on your plan for this year if you want to, but I'm going to go through it over the course of 6 weeks and hit each of these six topics one per week and talk about, well, how can we develop a plan for each one. As we go today, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me, and we'll go ahead and put the prayer on the screen if we have it. And I want to tell you about this prayer. This is a traditional kind of New Year's prayer. And this, again, wherever you're at with this, whether you're looking at a detailed plan or just want to think about some of the stuff that I've shared today, whatever you want to do, this is a John Wesley's covenant renewal prayer, often done, again, at the beginning of a new year. And I wonder if we could just pray this together. I'm going to go at a slow pace, but if you would just kind of pray this out loud with me as your prayer, as our collective prayer for God, what do you want us to do? What mission? What doing good? What service do you want to lead us to in this new year? Let's pray together. Lord, let me be your servant. Under your command. I will be satisfied that you, Christ, will give me my place and work. I will no longer be on my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Amen.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.